what exactly has transpired in the lives of these four people who are being baptized. They didn't decide to get religious one day or smarten up. God broke into their lives with saving grace. God came into their lives and gave them new hearts to love and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians actually is what we're proclaiming this morning as truths for Chance and Henry and for Johnny and Annie. These are not hypotheticals. The song we just sang has become true by grace. There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so what baptism is signifying is that these people are in Christ. When Matthew 28 says that we are to go and make disciples of all nations and to baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, what we are proclaiming is that they are now in union with Christ. And so what I wanted to do this morning was quickly work through the book of Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. And that almost sounds an impossibility, but we're just going to go through it quickly. And I want to speak not only to those being baptized, but to those who are listening, because I would be a fool to think that everybody here is a Christian. Everybody here has been born again. Everybody here has truly repented of their sins. Everybody here has truly put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins. I am not so foolish to think that there are people who are faking religion this morning. What we are doing this morning is proclaiming as a local church that God has pronounced such sinners as justified. If you were to read in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus Christ gave keys to His church. And keys are a symbol of power and authority. And yes, the church at times has abused it, but that doesn't by any means eliminate the power that Christ has invested His church. All authority has been given to Christ, who gives it to His church. And what the church is to do in Matthew 16 and especially Matthew 18 is to do binding and loosing. That's a tricky text. You can turn there and figure what in the world is Jesus saying to the church. He's basically saying this, that the church is invested with the authority of Christ to loose and to bind. To loose, declare loosing on earth as has been loosed in heaven. And what in the world is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the loosing up or binding of sin and the guilt associated with it. And so as a New Testament evangelical church, what we are doing is declaring the loosing that has transpired on earth has already happened in heaven. The moment a sinner trusts in Christ, the Bible says, all of their sins are forgiven. That Christ bears their sin and the condemnation associated with it. And that sin and that bondage is loosed. The chain of sinfulness is broken. It's loosed. And in baptism, what the church does is declares that sin and all of its consequences has been loosed for all those who trust in Jesus Christ. It's not a small matter that's happening this morning. We're not just getting people a little bit wet. We are celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is building His church. That there is in Christ with the authority of the Father is working in the gospel. And He's saving His people. The sheep are hearing His voice. The Father is drawing His elect to the Son. And we are celebrating that church. It's not hypotheticals anymore. We should rejoice in this. We don't just proclaim hypotheticals and hope that the gospel will save. We declare this morning the gospel is saving. The gospel is rescuing sinners out of the clutches of the kingdom of Satan and darkness and sin. And the gospel, which is the power of God to salvation for all who believe, is loosing sinners from the sin that is damning them to hell. The gospel does that. Not just in pie-in-the-sky theological talks and ivory towers. The gospel does this in real life, in the life of Chance and Henry and Johnny and Annie. It should give you hope for your lost family and your friends and your neighbors. That the gospel and the cross actually saves people. It's not a hypothetical. It's not, I hope the gospel can save them. It's a visual. The gospel is saving a people to be to the praise of God's glorious grace. The gospel is showing us that it is powerful to loose people out of their religiosity and to loose them out of their pagan tendencies. The gospel is glorious. What we are doing is, with Paul, blessing the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. We are declaring that this is so in your lives. That Christ has blessed you, Annie, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. No matter what happens, Henry, because you have repented of your sins and you have fled for refuge in Jesus Christ, you have every blessing in the heavenly places, no matter what happens on earth. We are declaring that God in Christ has chosen you from the foundation of the world. Who is to lay any charge against God's elect? Nobody. It is God who justifies. And more than that, Christ who is risen, who is now interceding for you in the heavenlies. Romans 8, 33 and 34. Isn't that good news? We are declaring those truths of the gospel through baptism to be yours. We are declaring that before the foundation of the world, God only chose to save you. He chose to make you holy. Which is why we don't do baptism in isolation. We do it in the assembly of a local congregation. Because we remind each other that the salvation is not merely a ticket out of hell so we can really get on with our lives and do what we want. No, this gospel saves us from our sins and saves us for a greater purpose, to worship God in Christ for the rest of our lives. This is good news, isn't it? The gospel reminds us that in God's predestining purposes, you are not hypothetically, but actually sons of God through adoption in Christ. And by the Spirit that He has sent into your hearts in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, you long for the fulfillment of that adoption when Christ gives you a new body. But the work has begun. You are declared adopted sons and daughters through Christ. Ephesians 1 becomes yours as a believer. And that's all baptism is doing, is saying these are believers that are recognized. Not because they raised their hand or asked Jesus into their heart or did some religious things. No, because the evidence of Christ at work in them is manifesting itself in fruit. And so as a church, we are presenting these people before you to the best of our ability and the best of our conscience, say, these people show the evidence of regeneration. They show the evidence of Christ in their life. We declare that God has saved you, Chance, to be to the praise of the glory of God's grace. And Henry and Johnny and Annie, we tell you here that you are blessed in Christ. Literally, you are graced in Christ. That all the grace that Christ has purchased for His people is actually yours, now that you're in Him by faith. Moreover, in verse 7 it says, in Him, once you were apart from Christ and you were dead, you were in your sins and your transgressions, and you were in Adam, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, following the lusts of your wicked heart and flesh. You were there, but the Bible says, in Christ by grace, you have the redemption through His blood. You have a greater Passover than you read about in the book of Exodus. You're not just delivered out of the clutches of Pharaoh, you're delivered out of the clutches of Satan. You're not just transferred out of Egypt into the land of promise, you're transferred out of this wicked, ungodly, worldly cosmos into the heavenly realms in Christ, Ephesians 2:5. The Bible says that in Christ, not only do you have forgiveness of your trespasses, God has lavished upon you His grace and given you wisdom and insight to know Christ. In Him, verse 10, you have an inheritance. And it's not Israel, it's not Barnwell, it's not Lethbridge. Your inheritance is the new heavens and the new earth. Isn't that glorious? Baptism is rich. It's not just some religious phenomenon that we do to put little tacks on our belt. No, we do so and we publicly make a declaration as the church of Matthew 18 that having been loosed of these sins and incorporated into Christ, all these blessings are theirs. God had predestined you to a greater purpose, Henry, than to live for yourself and get high. God has predestined you to live for the King. Sweet, isn't it? Let's just keep going. It says that those who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Johnny and Annie, you have been saved for something much greater. You've been saved to be to the praise of God's glory in Christ. May this baptism remind you of that. And when you look back in days to come, remember that this baptism points to what you've been saved from and what you've been saved to. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth. Here it is. Who gets baptized? One Lord, one faith, one belief, one baptism. In him. When you heard the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel that delivers, that saves you, and believed in him. You might be wondering, who is baptism for? Baptism is not just for anybody. Baptism is for those who have turned and renounced their former way of life and have trusted in Jesus Christ and all that he has given them. When you believe this gospel, this saving gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Romans 8, by which you cry, Abba, Father. When all the world is against you, you have the Spirit of Romans 8 that says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I could offer you $1 billion, and that never compares to what we have in the promised Holy Spirit, reminding us we are sons and daughters of the living God, that we have an inheritance awaiting us, much greater than a mansion or a cottage getaway. We long for the new heavens and earth wherein righteousness dwells. Ephesians 2 reminds us that we have been saved, those who are to be baptized into this one Lord with this one faith in this one baptism are saved by grace through faith. And even this faith is a gift of God. We're not saved as a result of works so that none of us might boast. I was scared to put on Facebook what's going on because we don't want to boast in ourselves. This is not the work of Grace Community. This is not the work of Tony. This is not the work of Ryan. It's not the work of us. It's the work of God's grace using vessels like us. The gospel reminds us that we are now seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The gospel of Ephesians 2:10 reminds us that we are His new creation. We are His workmanship. That He has crafted, as it were, the way He did Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2. We're reminded that in Ephesians 2 that God has saved us to walk in good works. And so this is not a willy-nilly baptism. It's a reminder that you're dead to all those fruitless works of darkness. And you're now sons of light. So walk as children, as light. Walk as those who've been raised to newness in Christ in Romans chapter 6. Understand that the old man with all of the uncircumcision of his wicked flesh has been put off in Colossians 3. Remember, you're clothed in Christ, Galatians 3. Remember, you have put on Christ, Romans 13. Remember the gospel. So baptism, in a nutshell, is for believers. And what you're going to see is going to be kind of weird if you've never seen what we call believer's baptism. There's a lot of water, and there's a reason. When you study the Old Testament, water was often a picture of judgment. Where was Jonah cast? Into the heart of the seas. Psalm 46, there's these flooding waters impending and imposing upon the city of God. The flood of Genesis 6 is judgment. And that's what this water is a picture of. It's a grave. And so when I baptize you, I hope I remember to look you in the eyes and say, Chance, old Chance, dead, new Chance alive. Not perfect, but new Chance in Romans 6 alive. It's almost like this. It's like a chrysalis what's a pre-butterfly brains? Cocoon. Chance is standing before you, cocoon. Chance gets lowered into that judgment and he arises a butterfly. That's what 1 Peter 3 says. That baptism is a picture of what happened to Noah. That God judged the world through water. And yet those who trusted God's promise were delivered through water. And so we see in the waters judgment and salvation. Judgment of their sins upon Christ, Romans 6, and salvation in Christ's resurrection. It's so glorious. It's not just this little rite that we do to our kids or we do before we get married. This is a proclamation of the gospel. Christ dies for our sins and we die with him to those sins. And when Christ is raised because or for our justification, we are raised with him to newness of life no longer slaves of unrighteousness, but now slaves of righteousness through the Spirit He has given. We're going to ask the children to come up after the testimonies. We want them to see what is happening. I want Alyssa to see and to ask you, what in the world? Why? That's dumb. Why did they put you in the water? Because that water is a picture of a watery grave. And the old Annie and the old Johnny died in Christ, but were delivered with Noah to newness of life by the grace of God in Christ. Listener, are you a Christian? In our Sunday school with the teenagers, we went through Romans chapter 3 and we talked about propitiation. Again, propitiation is the doctrine of God's wrath being absorbed by Christ's death. And Romans 1 says that all the folly of the Gentiles can't save them, but Romans 2 says that all the religiosity of the Jews could not save them. Only Christ saves. Only His death will do. Your religious works are filthy rags in the sight of Him who is thrice holy, before whom these sinless cherubim must cover their face with their wings. Are you a Christian? Have you been born again? Do you love Jesus Christ? That's the mark of the new creation. Not do you know facts about Jesus Christ? Not can you agree to certain doctrinal truths? That's good. But do you love Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? That's the difference between those who are religious and go to hell and those who are forgiven and enjoy Christ's presence for all eternity. I don't want to judge, but I do want to make sure that everybody understands the gospel. That you're not saved by your denomination, by your background, by your Bible reading, by your church attendance, by your job, by anything. Because then God is not glorified. And God is infinitely jealous for His glory, Isaiah 42:8. My glory I share with no other, which is why salvation is in Christ alone. By faith alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. Have you cast yourself upon Christ's mercy? Or are you still trying to be a good person? Good people go to hell. Only righteous people, declared righteous in Christ, can dwell with God forever on high. Let that sink in. Good people go to hell. God doesn't save good people. He saves sinners. We're sinners under sin. But God loved the world. And He gave His Son to be the propitiation of the sins of the world. Are you trusting in yourself or are you trusting in Christ? We are declaring, we have talked, we have gone through interviews and discipleship. Chance is not trusting in His badness or His goodness, nor is Henry, neither is Johnny or Annie. They have cast themselves upon the free mercy of God in Christ. It's a free offer. It's to be received by faith. Let's pray. We'll have our testimonies. And we'll do some dunking and not slam dunking. Father, our delight is to exalt Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. Naked, come to Thee for dress. Hopeless and helpless, run to Thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. May that be the rejoicing of those who are Christians, but it may also be the cry, Lord, of someone You're illuminating and awakening by grace even now. May they see the futility of all they've ever thought they had done to merit Your favor. No, it is undeserved. If it's of works, it is no longer of grace, Paul says in Romans 11. Oh God, save, be pleased to save. Would You work, Lord, in our hearts who You have saved, that we might rejoice in so great a salvation, we pray. For Jesus' sake, Father, and in His name. Amen. Coming up, we're going to give testimonies. Every one of these testimonies is different, and yet every one of these testimonies is the same. Come on up. I just preach when I don't know what else to do. Saved differently, but saved by the same grace, by the same Christ. Go for it, Henry.
My name is Henry Bauman. I was born in Taber, Alberta. I grew up in a Mennonite home. When I was about 8 or 9, my mom had cancer and passed away. I will always remember that day. whom I never knew, nothing about. I asked, why is this happening to me? I could hardly grasp losing her. My dad is a part-time alcoholic, and it's always been hard watching my dad get drunk, and he's been in quite a few accidents. I thank the Lord that he has spared his life so far. When I was about 13, I started to go to parties, and that's when I started to get high. And after a while, I started to get into very heavy drugs, and I started to steal from anywhere I could to get my next hit. When we had no more drugs, we were broke, and we needed some. We needed some adrenaline, so we stole a truck one night, drove to a little town, smashed a window in a store, and started taking what we could grab before the alarm went off. Once it did, we drove away and poured gas in the truck and set it on fire. And when we did have money, there were times we took up to 10 pills of ecstasy or acid. Whatever I could get my hands on. I praise the Lord for sparing my life long enough to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember Tony and Nancy always telling me the gospel, but I never wanted to hear it because it showed getting high and stealing was wrong. And I never wanted to hear it, so I stopped coming to their house because that's all I had ever heard. It was just me and my dad living together last year, and I started to drink. He started to drink again, and I thought he was on the verge of dying again, and it broke my heart to see him like that. So I stole fuel to go to Nancy and Tony's so I could leave and not have to see him like that. I was there for a while and I could not stop thinking of my dad, if my dad was okay. But Tony and Nancy started to preach the gospel to me again, and one day, thinking of my dad, it broke my heart. I broke down crying, and I had to reach rock bottom. I had no job, no money, nothing but some clothes and a car. I remember Tony saying that Jesus would forgive my sins, and I knew I had more sins than I could count. A few days later, I repented and put my trust in Jesus, whom I loved and will cherish him forever. To the one and only God, praise to be to you for saving someone like me. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
There's a song we sing, and the refrain of one of the verses is, not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to save. We praise the Lord for you, brother. The gospel. Awesome. Tony, praise the Lord that you never shut up with the gospel. God be praised. Delivered. Another sinner.
Hello, everybody. My name is Chance, and this is my profession to faith. When I was 8 years old, I was baptized as a Mormon. I had no knowledge of why. I had no backing to why I was being dunked underwater. I never really found out. My parents never explained it to me, and, well, I was too young to really understand, sitting in church for 3 hours. After a little bit, my family stopped going to church altogether, and I never really thought about God after that. Growing up was tough for me. Our family split up pretty early, and I just took on a way of why should I care anymore? Why should I care for those around me? Why should I care even about myself? At this point, I had a real detachment. I didn't even want to wake up in the morning sometimes. And then as this went on, I started to prey on other people. I wanted to bring people down to my level. Why should others be happy when I am such a place? I would pray. I'd prey on those who were insecure. And I would shatter their trust of people, shatter their self-image, and just bring them to where I was. That was my goal. When I turned 18, I left Lethbridge because I wanted to get away. I wanted a change in my life. So I went to Ontario. But the change in my life was not for the better. It was for the worse. I wanted to start somewhere new and hurt even more people. I tried to take advantage of everybody I could. At my job, I would do everything I could to advance, but do little enough that I never really had to work. At about 2 years out in Ontario, I had this feeling. It just came from nowhere. I had friends. I had a girlfriend. I had everything I wanted. And I just, all of a sudden, you need to go back to Alberta. Out of nowhere, I had everything. And all of a sudden, just, you need to go back. Oops. I dropped everything. I didn't even give my friends, my family, nobody. Nobody knew. I just left. And on the day of me leaving, I said my goodbyes and text messages and everything. I didn't want to face anybody. But I had to go back. On my way back from Ontario, God was already working in me. I had no idea that what he wanted with me. I didn't even think about him at all. But what happened was, on the way back, I was in a stopover from Medicine Hat to Lethbridge. It was 3 hours. I was dropped off at around 4 a.m. The bus station was locked. I sat outside in minus 10 weather. It was terrible. But what God wanted to show me was, I was in the low of the low. I was cold. I hated everything. Why did I go back? Why did I give up what I had? But then all of a sudden, 2 hours through, there was a lady. I don't remember her name. And she even though she came up to me and asked me if there was anything I needed, she could see me sitting there cold, wrapped in a blanket, waiting for my bus. I out of my proud heart, not wanting anything to do with these people, I said to her, "No, I don't need anything. I'm fine. I'll just be fine here." Well, that's not what God wanted me to learn in this situation. She came back about 5 minutes later and had brought me a blanket, a bag of chips, and a gospel tract. Now, I don't remember the gospel tract to the fullest, but I remember that it was about Jesus and it was about what he did for me. Still being in my sin, I said to myself, "I don't need this. Why do I need this?" But it put that thought in the back of my mind that God is there. When I did get back home, the same things that I left from started happening again. The money that I did earn was leaving my pockets faster than I could actually earn it. And my things that I had left behind were sold for money. I came back to exactly what I didn't want. After a few months being back, I wanted to leave again. I was like, I don't understand why I came here. Maybe if I went back, I could retouch with all my friends and get back with where I was. But then I got a call from my cousin who runs a business in Siding to come work for him. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll get a job, do well, and move on my life in Lethbridge. Well, that's when, about a couple months into working, I met Tony. We had been placed on a job out in Tabor because he had convenience to living close to me, and it was just convenient because I don't drive. Every day, Tony would listen to Wretched Radio, and I would overhear every little bit and always have questions. This turned into 1 or 2 hour long long preaching sessions while we were at work. And then I thought to myself, I never really thought about this, but I really need to know who this God person is, why he sent his son for me. Because that is the first thing I heard. His son was sent for me. I wanted to know the full extent of why. I was invited to church around 10 months ago from this day today. And still being a sinner and knowing only so little as I did know, I came with impure motives. I didn't actually want to learn. Well, I wanted to learn, but I didn't actually want to go sit in church and listen. I came with the intent of looking at my phone, not paying attention, maybe picking up a few things here and there and putting on a happy face for everybody. But how wrong was I when I thought that's how it was going to go? The moment I walked into the door, everybody had a big smile. Everybody greeted me, shook my hand, and asked me my name, asked me what I did, and asked me what I thought. I thought to myself, why are they asking me these things? Why do they care? Why should I, the person I am, with the motives I came here with, why should I be accepted into this house? I thought to myself, this must be a family. This is something I've never seen before. This is something I would like to be a part of. I remember my the first sermon I had listened to, Ephesians 2:19-22. So you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. To myself, I was like, I am a stranger. I am an alien. I am not like these other people. I don't share the same faith. But I do. I do share the same faith. And I was brought here by the grace of God to show me the sin in my life and to convict me. After that, every day had become different. My life no longer needed to bring people down to my level. My level had been no longer there. It was all about Christ now. My speech, my blasphemy, my everything, it went away. It took not but a week. There are still sin I struggle with, but God is there for me. Tony had sent me to John, since it was easier for the beginners to digest. And I remember John 3:3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that brings us here today. Thinking back, God was truly there for me the whole time, to the car accidents I've been through, all the way to still breathing to this day. All by the grace of God. All the things I've done, all the things even I still will do, I should be struck down. But by the grace and love of God, he has shown me the real path and shown me his glory. All the glory to the Lord. Amen.
All right, our final testimonies will be from Johnny and Annie Clausen. And Chance, though you have a history of praying upon people, if you could go back in time, the church was praying on you before you ever walked in the doors. And spelling difference, of course. But we're thankful, brother, to hear of what God has done in your life. My sister.
My name is Annie Clausen. I'm 23 years old. I'm married to Johnny of 5 years, and God has richly blessed us with our two beautiful daughters, Alyssa and Soraya. I grew up in a Mennonite home with my parents and 5 siblings. My parents told me about God from when I was very little. I was taught my repetitive prayers and to live a good life because God hates sin. We We went to church regularly, but I didn't really understand what was being preached because a lot of it was in High German at that time. It was made painfully aware to me of my sinfulness from a young age, so I'd often wonder, how is anybody ever going to be good enough to get to heaven? How was I ever going to be good enough to get to heaven? I heard it was going to be harder to get to heaven than it was for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle. That sounded impossible to me. So I tried really hard to be a good person, but I was always falling short. I thought it was hopeless and got exhausted of trying. So as I got older and into my teenage years, I became careless and stopped trying. I was never going to reach God's standards anyway. I got wrapped up in my own selfish wants and desires and got engulfed by the sin that was my life. Johnny and I started dating in the midst of all of this. I was on a spiral downhill, and I didn't care how often my dad would sit me down and beg me to stop before it would be too late. I would go to church once in a while to make him happy and to ease my conscience, but I left feeling empty. Eventually, I didn't want to hear it anymore, so I packed up and moved out feeling incredibly guilty, but that didn't stop me. Eventually, I decided to turn my life around. I didn't want to live like that anymore. I was exhausted of always feeling dirty and disgusting. I didn't know then that what I needed was to be cleansed from within, that only Jesus could provide for me. I wanted to live for God, even though I didn't have an understanding of what that meant. I decided to get baptized, thinking it would give me a fresh start. I believed by Jesus dying on the cross for me, he had opened the door to heaven, but I still had to get myself there by repenting of all my sins continually and living a good life. When John and I had been married for a while, I started listening to 11:40 a.m. I was working as a delivery driver at Napa, so I was in the car for a good portion of the day. I would tune in to hear Chuck Swindoll, Adrian Rogers, and focus on the family. That's where, by the grace of God, I started hearing the gospel. I'd come home and tell Johnny about what I was hearing, and after a while, we started listening to John MacArthur, and for the first time, really reading the Bible for myself. He preached on repentance and faith, and that Jesus is more than just an add-on to your life. If you are in Christ, then he has to be your Lord and Savior. I finally understood that nobody was ever going to be good enough. That's why Jesus had to come down from heaven, live the perfect life for us, then die on the cross, bearing our sins, paying the price on our behalf, on my behalf. I came to the cross with nothing to offer but my sins. Amen. And in return, he made me clean and righteous in the eyes of God. Praise God. I want to be obedient to the word of God. Therefore, I would like to publicly show my union with Christ in a true believer's baptism. I have grown so much since coming to Grace Community, not just by what's being preached, but also the love everyone has for the Lord and for each other. I would be honored to become a member into this church family. Here are a couple verses that I hold dear to my heart and that have helped me through this time in my life. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And Romans 5:8-10, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. To him be the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. My name is Johnny Clausen. I am married to Annie Clausen. We have two beautiful daughters, Alyssa and Soraya. I was born in Cuauhtemoc, Mexico, where my family and I lived until I was 3 years old, and at which point we moved to Alberta. The first few years, we would attend the Sommerfeld Mennonite Church. When I was 7, we started attending Tween Valley Christian Fellowship because my parents wanted a more gospel-centered teaching in our lives. From that point on, I would hear the gospel being preached on a regular basis, but would reject it time and again. I do recall asking Jesus into my heart a number of times when I would get scared of going to hell, but never had an understanding of repentance and faith through grace in Jesus. My teenage years were filled with sin and rebellion up until the point Annie and I decided to get baptized and married. There I would ask Jesus into my heart again, hoping that this would be my final time. To some it may have looked like I was a changed person, but on the inside I was still marred by sin and guilt, without a regenerate heart. And through this, it was during Annie's time when she was listening to the likes of Chuck Swindoll, Adrian Rogers, and later John MacArthur, that she came to an understanding of the gospel, which God used to start working in my heart. Amen. I kept hearing that by the grace of God, through faith and repentance, one becomes saved. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We started to listen to John MacArthur about baptism and that one knows by a fruit whether one is saved. It became clear to me that my life and my desire to pray and read the Bible didn't match what I was claiming to be. I can now say that through faith and repentance in Jesus' finished work on the cross, although still far from perfect, I am saved. Romans, I just wanted to share a couple of verses yet here. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And also 1 Timothy 1:15-16. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I have received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life.
All right, there will be a couple songs as we prepare to get baptized and answer to prayer. I think I cried more than you, Annie. That's fantastic. Come to Jesus Christ. You can see in the different lives that God has led these people to, it's still the same Savior. It doesn't matter which church you've gone to or are going to. We're not trying to say we're the only way. We're saying Christ is the only way. The way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. But those that do come to the Father through Jesus, John 6:37, he will never, ever cast away. There's never been one sinner who's come to Jesus Christ seeking mercy that he has said, beat it, you're too dirty, or you're too religious. Christ doth sinners save. Let's go. Tony, do you want to come too?
Please, my mic on here. Please stand with us again. We'll sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? You're more than welcome to come up if your parents give you permission.
We're baptizing first.
So what did we just sing, Shana? Will this baptism save Mr. Johnny? No. Only the blood, only the death of Jesus Christ. You're not saved by good works. It comes from baptism. Not even if a pastor baptizes you. We're saved when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so know what you're going to see? You're going to see a picture of death and new birth. I'm not going to hold him under the water that long. Baptism is a picture of Johnny's old person, Johnny's old man. If you were to read Romans chapter 5, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or Romans chapter 6, or Ephesians chapter 4, or Colossians chapter 2, it talks about an old man and a new man. And the old man, the old Johnny, he's dead. What we want to show you is that in Christ, the new Johnny is alive to obey him, because the new Johnny has a new heart from the resurrected Christ by the grace of God, okay? The question is a theological one. Why am I wearing pants? Because kids are near. So I'm going to ask Johnny a couple questions, and we're going to baptize him into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I hope you guys will ask your parents, what's going on? What in the world? That was goofy. And your parents will say, that's a picture of the new birth. Dead, and then brought to life by grace, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Johnny Clausen, in the presence of the triune God, the electing Father, the redeeming Son, the accomplishing Spirit, do you profess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and your Savior, the one who saved you from your sins? Do you profess that you have been saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone?
Yes.
Also, Johnny, do you proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord according to Romans 10:13, that you are going to follow him in obedience and bring glory to his name? After he answers. Well, then it is my privilege and my delight as a representative of Grace Community to baptize you publicly in your declaration and profession of faith into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Annie, Johnny's lovely wife. We're also going to do the same thing. Cold. Not as warm as the last. I don't know why it's so cold. Yeah, it's not a sauna party. So the same idea, we're going to ask Annie.
Change like birthday.
Way better than a birthday. We're celebrating a new birthday, Ashley. So, Annie Clausen, in the sight of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, do you publicly declare that you have trusted in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, that having repented and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are professing to be a follower of Christ unashamedly in his name? Will you follow Christ by the grace of God, the Spirit empowering work to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior? Alright, okay. So what we're going to do, you want to come on the other side? Okay? Hold your hands. Annie, wake up. And Annie, I wanted to look her and Johnny in the face. I forgot, Johnny, but Annie, you're dead. Annie, you're alive in Christ. Though we're Baptists, don't be afraid to drop in a praise the Lord or a hallelujah. We're not going to get too angry or rude, too sharp. Now, I wanted Tony to help baptize. What we usually do at Grace Community is have people who are instrumental in the Lord's work. Tony forgot his change of clothes, but we anticipated this, but God's getting the glory, right?
Amen.
Henry Bannon, my brother in Christ, we've seen a lot of change.
Sharp.
you in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, proclaim Jesus Christ to be the only Savior of this world. And proclaim and profess that Christ is your Lord and Savior. Have repented of your sins. Believe wholeheartedly and only in Christ. Trust in Him for your salvation.
Yes, I do.
And then it is my delight then, in the presence of God and the presence of your brothers and sisters in Christ, to baptize you as well into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Henry, old Henry, your dad. Okay, let's do this. Bury the Christ in death. Raise the Christ in the new life. Christ.